ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're going to start Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 9, and today is text 12. Chatrayastim sutam bitam vigyayar bhakavatsala yesha kila tambadam Damna tad birya kovida Chaktva, throwing away Yastim, the stick in her hand Sutam, her son Bitam, considering her son's great fear Vigya, understanding Arbaka Vatsala, the most affectionate mother of Krishna. Yesha, desired. Kila, indeed. Tam, Krishna. Badhum, to bind. Damna, with a rope. Atat Virya Kovida, without knowledge of the supremely powerful personality of Godhead. Because of intense love for Krishna. Translation. Mother Yasoda was always overwhelmed by intense love for Krishna, not knowing who Krishna was or how powerful he was. Because of material affection, because of maternal affection for Krishna, she never even cared to know who he was. Therefore, when she saw that her son had become excessively afraid, she threw the stick away and desired to bind him so that he would not commit any further naughty activities. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Mother Yasoda wanted to bind Krishna not in order to chastise him, but because she thought that the child was so restless that he might leave the house in fear. That would be another disturbance. Therefore, because of full affection to stop Krishna from leaving the house, she wanted to bind him with rope. Mother Yasoda wanted to impress upon Krishna that since he was afraid merely to see her stick, he should not perform such disturbing activities as breaking the container of yogurt and butter and distributing its contents to the monkeys. Mother Yasoda did not care to understand who Krishna was and how his power spreads everywhere. This is an example of pure love for Krishna. Mother Yasoda was always overwhelmed by intense love for Krishna, not knowing who Krishna was or how powerful he was. Because of maternal affection for Krishna, she never even cared to know who he was. Therefore, when she saw that her son had become excessively afraid, she threw the stick away and desired to bind him so that he would not commit any further naughty activities. So there's a lot happening today. The first thing, when I met Srila Prabhupada, After being in the temple for a year, as I mentioned, was in Los Angeles in his garden. He was reading from Krishna book, just these chapters, these stories about childhood Krishna and the killing of demons. As I mentioned many times, Prabhupada was completely absorbed in Krishna book. There were just four or five of us in the garden. Prabhupada, I was reading. So I became the Krishna book reader there every day for almost a week. Prabhupada was the most attentive. And it was the first time Prabhupada said to me before reading one day, he looked at me and said, "I like the Cowherd Boys very much." And then reading the story of Krishna killing the demon, Prabhupada was in ecstasy. Body, whole body shaking, laughing, slapping his leg. And the next day he did the same thing. I read another story. Prabhupada loves Krishna. And this is what he's giving us. This whole society is all about love. Which is funny because it's something we're so, you know, we can be so much afraid of, this idea of having love. But the whole point is to take that material lust and turn it into genuine love for Krishna, where it eternally resides. And this is what Prabhupada has given us. Every day, he was laughing. And then he said, I told you that one day, he said, puffing up his chest, sitting. Prabhupada always sat so straight. Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So we're proud to be Krishna's servants. That's our pride. This is our happiness. We're servants of Krishna. And then he immediately turned and said, "We don't care. Maybe he's God, maybe he's not God. We just love that beautiful boy. This is Mother Yasoda. Not that he's God. He's just the most lovable personality." So everything, this is what Prabhupada has given us. And I was relating it in my service to Srila Prabhupada because he often talked about his childhood. He was also given that type of love from his parents, from his mother, always protecting him. One of the most famous times, it was in Juhu, 1975. I was sitting in his bed under the mosquito net. Prabhupada's lying down, so I'm massaging him inside the mosquito net, sitting there in the little tent there in Juhu. Most wonderful time. And he had just had puffed rice for his evening meal. Puffed rice with peanuts, turmeric, a little asafoetida, and of course his hot milk. So as he was laying down and massaging him in that balmy atmosphere there in Juhu, it's hot and humid, no air conditioning, and Prabhupada lying there, fans overhead, we're both under the mosquito net. And then he said, "My mother made first class puffed rice." So Prabhupada went from there right back to when he was a child with his parents. And he did it many times while I was with him. He would remember so fondly those years with his parents. Then he described the process of making puffed rice. Everything he watched, Prabhupada was the most observant person. He said, "My sister, she was first class cook. My mother taught her." All this, he said, lying there in the course of 15, 20 minutes during the massage. The whole time, you're connected by your service. You're not just sitting there listening joyfully. No, our connection is through our service. My connection was there, just squeezing, he said, like a chapati dough. He said, squeeze his legs like chapati dough. Pointed to his toes, said, "Pull my fingers." I grabbed his hand, he stuck out. "No, my fingers." He started wiggling his toes. This is what we want. All this philosophy, so many books. Prabhupada said the whole point, all this philosophy is bring you to the point of chanting Hare Krishna. And what is the point of chanting Hare Krishna? You're always absorbed in the pastimes of Krishna, his devotees. Huh? This is where we end up. This is what we want. This is why we're here. Not here to get a nice room, nice iPhone 12, so many things. None of this means anything. We're here to remember those lotus feet. Huh? For me, it's to see those fingers, Prabhupada wiggling his fingers. Then he described many things in his childhood. I don't have a lot of time, but I'm going to take some anyway. He said, when I was young, then he described about the guns. His father would take him shopping. Huh? So this was, he would go out with his father shopping. Young boy, little boy. He's talking 4 years old, 5 years old. Just like we're hearing Krishna, 2 years old, 3 years old. He remembered all of this. He said, I remember being in my sister's arms, older sister. He said, I think I was 6 months old. Who can remember such things? 6 months old, being held by your mother. And he told us, he told Tamal Krishna Maharaj in the letter, there was never a moment I didn't remember Krishna in this life. So this is our blessing. People come to me today. Give me your blessings. Give me your blessings. What blessings? We all have the same blessings. You just have to take it. Prabhupada's given everyone the same opportunity. So of course he said he wanted a gun. His father bought him the gun. Not a plastic gun. There was no plastic back then. These were the metal gun, you know, little metal guns. And then of course he had the gun. He wanted another gun. His father kept saying, no. He's telling me this as I'm massaging him. He said, I wanted a gun. His father kept saying, no, you have a gun. He said, I want one for this hand. And his father said, no. He said, I laid down on the ground, banging my hands and my head. He said, you see this scar? Yes, Prabhupada. That's from that time. This was our Srila Prabhupada. Huh? This is what it means to be determined to get what you want. Never give up. He said, it was tantrum. Prabhupada threw a tantrum as a young boy. That scar, he said. Another time he showed me a scar on his leg. I was massaging him. Massaging his legs, there's a scar on his right leg. You see this scar? Yes, Prabhupada. He said, I was in front of the house, little garden in front of the house. I was playing with matches and I set my cloth on fire. Then he said, out of nowhere, a man appeared. He put out the fire and he left. Just like that. And then Prabhupada would stop. He never said too much. He just gave you little bits of information. He also said he got a cow, a little toy cow. Somehow it had some line and a thing you would squeeze on the end and the cow would jump up and down, he said. So he would remember so fondly his childhood. This is Krishna appeared to do these things, be a child in his mother's arms, to enjoy all of these. No, Prabhupada also enjoyed. This is devotee life. He said, Prabhupada never ate chapatis. He said, I would not eat a chapati. So when he was young, of course, he always had puris. And he said that evening, he said, I told my mother I want puris. And she said, no, it's too late. I'll give you some puffed rice. No, I want puris. His mother said, no, it's too late. Then again, Prabhupada threes. I always say threes, very important. Prabhupada said, I want puris. Mother says, no. He said, my father said, if he wants puris, give him puris. Then he looked at me. He said, perhaps my father knew. And then he would go on to the next topic again. But he said, perhaps my father knew just who this Prabhupada is. Giving everyone Krishna, giving everyone the opportunity to fall in love with this beautiful boy. So, today is a very special day. Brahmananda Tirubhava. I was trying to think of when I first met Brahmananda. I've seen him many times over the years. In the late 90s, he stayed at our house for some months. At that time, he was traveling around the United States selling sets of conversation books. This was when we had books. We were all buying books. Our bookshelves were filled. So it must have been almost 20, right? Prabhupada's conversations in books. So he was traveling across the U.S. selling them. But the first time I met him was in Calcutta, 1973. Of course, we all knew of Brahmananda. We had heard about Brahmananda. He was Maharaj. And at that time, when I joined Prabhupada in August 72, Shyamasundar was his secretary. He was, if there was a, you know, what do you call it? Anyway, if there's a picture in the dictionary, a secretary, Shyamasundar was the secretary. I always consider he was the most wonderful secretary of Prabhupada's. But after 6 months, he wasn't the secretary. And Prabhupada started a program, Secretary of the Month, for a GBC member. And that went on for, I think, 5 months or so. Every month, new secretary. That didn't work out very well. Prabhupada's idea was to train his men to understand how he does things. Because he says so many times, do like I'm doing. Do as I'm doing. He expected within a month they could understand how Prabhupada did things, how he managed, how he dealt with the devotees, how regulated he was, how he was doing everything that he was telling us to do. He's chanting his rounds. He's saying his Gayatri mantras. He's honoring prasadam. He's rising early in the morning. They could see all these habits. Huh? We've been talking about this. Raga, Nuga, Bhakti, so many things. Prabhupada was on the highest level. Is all you saw was a devotee practicing Krishna consciousness, chanting his rounds, following the principles, preaching. That's how he exhibited his Krishna consciousness to us. So then after that experiment didn't go very well, Prabhupada called Brahmananda to be his secretary. So that's when I met Brahmananda. So we spent many months together, Brahmananda and I, and we were of different natures. We were friendly. Brahmananda loved Prabhupada so much, would do anything for him. And he was literally Prabhupada's bouncer. You say in the U.S., bouncer. I don't know what you would say here in India. He was his, chokidar. Like, he was like, something went wrong, he's like, call Brahmananda. A few times. Remove him. You just look at Brahmananda, you'd get up and run. In other words, I said in the 90s, when he stayed with us, I had two sons at the house. They were 16 and 17 in high school. And they both just happened to be on the wrestling team at the high school. Brahmananda was a wrestler. So my boys were not, they weren't so big. They were both weighing maybe 60 kilos, you know, 65 kilos. Brahmananda was quite a big, little bigger, like the two of them together. And he said, oh, you wrestle? He said, you want to wrestle? There they were on the living room floor, these things flying around as they're trying to pin Brahmananda down to the ground, unsuccessfully. And we know he was a great dancer. I think I told before, when we were together, I also liked dancing at the kirtan. Brahmananda always liked dancing at the kirtan. And in India at that time, a lot of dancing, much more amplified than the dancing we did in the U.S., as we learned from Prabhupada, back and forth. We call it the Swami step. You know, that's what Prabhupada taught us, the Swami step. If you see Prabhupada dancing, you'll see how he showed us how to dance. But when we came to India, Calcutta, Mayapur, oh, dancing was going on. Much more wild. But we liked it. We were young. I was 21 years old. I was very eager. And then we came back to the West with Prabhupada in Los Angeles Temple, called the Old Temple Room. It was 1973. Springtime, the temple room was packed, and Brahmananda's on one side of the Vyasasan, and I'm on this side of the Vyasasan, and Prabhupada's chanting's going on. Sometimes Prabhupada would play his gong. That was another level. He played kartels, there was a certain level of ecstasy. If he played the gong, there was another level of ecstasy, because he, with the gong, he could manipulate us by banging that gong, make us dance. If he grabbed the murdunga, that was a different world. That was 2-3 times sitting on the Vyasasan, Prabhupada playing a murdunga. So all these ecstasies that Prabhupada gave us. So Brahmananda and I on each side, we started pushing the crowd in the kirtan. Instead of standing in place, we started taking that little 3-step walk back and forth. Took a few minutes. Within a few minutes, all temple rooms, back and forth. Everyone, with women on one side and men on the other side. Prabhupada could always see the deities. There was always space in the middle for Prabhupada to see the deities. And Prabhupada would smile. I say he would. Prabhupada was puppeteer. Prabhupada was our puppet master. But just by his movement, he could move his head and he could make you do things. If he raised his hand, he could lift up everyone with his hand. We talk about mystic powers. This is mystic powers. Prabhupada's mystic powers, he could just look at you. You would be in ecstasy. You would be surrendered for the rest of your life by one look. So, in that way, the dancing changed a little in the temple room that day. Later, Prajumna asked Prabhupada, was that okay, Prabhupada, that they're dancing like that? Crazy people? It was very modest compared to the dancing today. But it was different. Prabhupada said, very nice. He said, when one is ecstatic, he's dancing. We dance for Krishna. So then I say, whatever, Prabhupada, Brahmananda, he was also very amazing in so many ways, and he was very simple. Any question he would ask Prabhupada, if he couldn't figure out, he would just ask Prabhupada. I said in Mayapur, when all the devotees were there, Prabhupada went into ecstasy in his lecture. Everything stopped. And then one devotee started leading a kirtan right behind Prabhupada's head on the Vyasasan. So the kirtan began. But afterwards, everyone was, you know, we should have just sat there. Prabhupada was in ecstasy. Don't have kirtan. There's 500 people in the temple room. No one would breathe when they saw Prabhupada in that way. But then the kirtan started. So we get back to the room. Brahmananda, right into the room, Brahmananda goes. He would ask Prabhupada things I wouldn't think of asking him. Prabhupada, what should we do when you go into ecstasy? Prabhupada looked at Brahmananda. He said, what do you... He said, well, you went on the Vyasasan, you went into ecstasy. The devotees started chanting. Some people are saying we should just sit quietly. Some say we should chant. Prabhupada said, I don't do that very often. Never like the fuss made about. This is devotee. This is what it means, humility. You want to understand humility. Here he is, thousands in front of him. He's just saying, why are you even bringing this up? What Prabhupada, what should we do? He said, just chant Hare Krishna. That was what Prabhupada's answer for everything. Just chant Hare Krishna. I thought it should have been quietly chanting Hare Krishna, but just to see Prabhupada with his eyes closed and wondering, where is he? Where is he now? Where did Prabhupada go? Because you could see him go. I told you, he didn't like chapatis. On the airplane, we were flying and served him prasadam. And it was puris and sabji. He started eating and just started laughing as he was eating. And then he looked at me. He said, I would never eat chapatis. I'm sitting in the plane next to him. He said, you could not give me chapatis. He said, my whole life. He said, and not easy. He said, sometimes I would go out. Prabhupada was very animated when he spoke. He didn't just talk. He lived everything he said. He was alive in every moment, every word. And you would just hang on everything he said and his expressions. So he would do, as I say, like a one-act play. He would say, he would talk differently, the different people talking. And he said, we'd go to people's houses, we'd be invited, and they'd offer me chapatis. He said, I couldn't eat them. He said, how to do it? He said, and then what? They're going to look at me and say, oh, you're too good. You can't eat our chapatis. He was so funny. And then he described how his servant, finally his servant said, please, I'll make you first class. He said, then I ate them. They were so nice. So I'll tell this, my personal best pastime with Brahmananda, I've told it before. We went to Kurukshetra with Prabhupada together. That was a famous, Prabhupada stayed there for hours after giving his speech, telling everybody they were trying to bring all the different religions together, unified. Prabhupada called them all nonsense. He says, you're all nonsense. Not one of you have even mentioned Krishna, he said. We're in the place where Krishna spoke, Bhagavad Gita, here in Kurukshetra. He said, and none of you have even mentioned him. He said, this whole thing is a waste of time. You'll never accomplish anything. And he was the guest. He was the invited guest. But they didn't want him to speak because they knew how he spoke. But Prabhupada went up and spoke, told them all, after they were all talking about their unification. And then we get back in the car. It was Brahmananda, myself, and Prabhupada sitting in the back. I'm next to him. And he said, did you understand? Brahmananda, yes, Prabhupada, we could understand some. He said, you're speaking Sanskrit. Of course, he was quoting Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said, yes, I told them all this, big waste of time. Then on the way back to Delhi, there was a big cyclone hit. Destroyed the whole place, all their tents, you can imagine. They had their tents set up. Everything blew away within minutes after Prabhupada left the stage. But while we were there, of course, very hot, Kurukshetra. After we arrived, Brahmananda and I, we had seen an irrigation canal. So we thought we'd go for a swim. We got Prabhupada set up in his guest room. And we are, you know, American boys. You see water, you go for a swim. But we weren't thinking about this irrigation canal. The water was running very briskly. And it was a V-shape, like most of them are, concrete, smooth concrete. And we were so hot, delirious by the heat, we jumped in the water together in our gumshas, Brahmananda and I. And as soon as we jumped in, we couldn't maintain where we were standing because we're being pushed by this water very quickly. And we realized right away we were in a lot of trouble because ahead, when we had walked up, we had seen ahead about 100 feet, there was a drop-off, like a waterfalls. And the waterfalls was broken up with these concrete barriers, three rows of them, zigzagged. So we were coming right towards these things together, Brahmananda and I. And somehow we both managed to grab hold in different spots. There were these little wire hanging down, a little piece of rope. I grabbed one, he grabbed one. We're about 10 feet apart. And we're both like this, our faces, as we think, we're drowning. We're going to drown here in Kurukshetra. And me being about 60 kilos, I pulled myself out of the water, you know, got my composure. And of course, as soon as I got out, Brahmananda screaming at me, Shrutakirti, get me! Shrutakirti, Shrutakirti! And I walked over and I'm in front of him. And the water's, you know, splashing. He's going very fast. This water's splashing by. And he's holding on with both hands. And I'm looking down at him. And he's literally twice, three times my size. And he's saying, pull me up! And I'm looking and thinking, there's no way I can pull you up. I'm not saying anything, but I'm just looking and trying to think, what am I going to do? He says, pull me up, pull me up. And I'm thinking, if I try to pull him up, he's going to pull me in, and we're both just going to drown. Today, this morning, and Prabhupada's sitting in the room. So I said, wait a minute. Somehow or other, Krishna gave me little intelligence, and I walked to that spot where the waterfalls was. And right before the falls, there was a stairway. Little concrete, just 4 or 5 steps. So then I went back to Brahmananda, and I said, and he's still telling me to grab him, and I'm still saying no. So I tell him there's a stairway. I'm going to go to the stairs. When I get there, I said, let go, and I'll get you. So he didn't like the idea, but he didn't have a choice. So I went down. I go down about 3 of the stairs. So I'm in a little bit of water, and I'm a bit out. And I just see him holding on, and he's got that face, not a happy look. And I said, let go, I'll get you. So finally he realized he didn't have a choice. He didn't want to let go. Right? This is how it is. You don't want to let go what you're holding on to. Sometimes you have to. And to make some progress, you have to let go of your attachments. So he let go. So now he's 10, 15 feet, 5 meters or so. And I just see this very large body just coming down at me. And I'm looking, and he got to the spot, and I grabbed him, of course, and brought him up the steps, and we very quietly started walking back towards Prabhupada's room, the guest room. After a minute, he said, I didn't even think about Krishna. And I'm thinking, I'm still not thinking about Krishna. So we go back, and like bad little children, we went into Prabhupada's room, got dressed, everything, put our tilak, dhoti. We went into Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada just looked at us, said, everything is all right. Yes, Prabhupada. You having a good time? Yes, Prabhupada. didn't tell Prabhupada everything. He knew everything. Prabhupada knew everything. He knew everything about his children, those who were around him. Prabhupada just smiled. He saved us. He's saving all of us. We're all drowning in this material world. And there's lots of difficulties. And that's what's at the end. There's this big waterfalls, huh? So you need to get out. And Prabhupada's given us the way to get out. He's given us so many nice disciples, so much good association, the temples. Here in Vrindavan, I can never say enough being able to be here in Vrindavan at this time. So anyway, it's a very special day today. I'm very happy I got to spend some time, a lot of time with Brahmananda. He also, in 1974, August, again I was in New Vrindavan, and he arranged for me to travel with Prabhupada again. So I owe Brahmananda very, very much for giving me the opportunity to again serve Srila Prabhupada personally, and also serving him, because he was eating that every day, whatever I cooked. Everyone in the entourage, we always ate Prabhupada's remnants. Whatever was left in the cooker, that got taken care of, right, Daivashakti? No problem. It didn't go very far, because we all knew it was the best. So, who is next? Okay. So, thank you very much, everyone. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.